Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkarnain dan kita mulakan dengan perkembangan luar negara dalam niaga awal ni pagi ini. Saham di Bursa Amerika ditutup sedikit rendah pada Selasa dengan indeks utama Wall Street hampir mendatar. Ini dengan pelabur terus cuba untuk menilai kadar inflasi di Amerika. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones jatuh 81 mata, Nasdaq jatuh 4 mata dan juga S&P 500 jatuh 8.92 mata.
Dalam masa yang sama, hasil bond perbendaharaan Amerika turut menurun kepada 1.557 dan bantu redakan kerisauan inflasi. Sebelum ini, timbalan pengerusi The Fed menyatakan bank pusat berkenaan boleh ambil langkah untuk kurangkan inflasi tanpa beri kesan kepada pemulihan ekonomi. Tambahnya, peningkatan kadar inflasi di Amerika adalah bersifat sementara. Penganalisis lihat, ini adalah bayangan yang The Fed mungkin melihat kepada pengurangan pembelian bond. Laporan seterusnya yang akan ditunggu pelabur adalah perbelanjaan pribadi pengguna untuk mengukur kadar inflasi yang akan dikeluarkan pada Khamis.
Dan kita ingin melihat kenyataan timbalan pengerusi The Fed berkenaan kadar inflasi di Amerika dan juga analisis pasaran mingguan bersama rakan pengurusan global SPI Asset Management, Stephen Innes. Stephen, the US Federal Reserve said earlier today that it can curb rising inflation should it occur without throwing the recovery off track. Is this an indication that the tapering may happen soon?
You know, I'm not clear on this view at all. What the Feds is trying to do here, other than perhaps send out trial balloons, telling the market that we are going to be tapering, but we're not going to be tapering anytime soon. I think even if taper discussions do get brought to the center stage, I think it'll be a dovish taper at best. I don't think the Fed is prepared to stop babysitting the market in a sense that they realize how frothy assets are. Sure, they might want to trim a little bit of that froth by pulling back a little bit, but they certainly don't want to disrupt the markets and cause a lot of wealth to evaporate that we've seen in some asset classes in the past couple of weeks, particularly in Bitcoin, for instance, which had a cataclysmic drop over the last week or so. Feds don't want that to happen. The Feds are going to continue to babysit the market, in my view. I think they will taper eventually, but it'll be a gradual taper. And what that means, more importantly, that gradual taper means perhaps interest rate hikes will be delayed even further. This is something we have to keep an eye on as we go forward.
But what can investors expect? You mentioned about Bitcoin, you mentioned about the gradual tapering. What can investors expect moving forward? Will communications be a bit more fluid when it comes to the tapering process?
I think the Feds are going to continue to float balloons, in other words, these trial balloons, and I just think they're going to gauge how the market reacts. You know, there's nothing, there's no blueprint here. This is the problem, but there's no blueprint for removing this kind of emergency taper or emergency quantitative easing in the markets right now, and this is a problem. So it's almost like a trial by error is how the Feds are going to have to approach this. I think it's going to be super cautious, and I think investors will realize that. But they also have to be cognizant of the elevated levels that we're at right now, that any signs of taper whatsoever will have an immediate negative impact on risk sentiment, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Will it have a lasting impact on risk sentiment? That's the question. I think the knee-jerk reaction will be negative. However, I think, you know, investors will realize this is going to be a dovish taper, not a bearish taper. And I think this is what they'll continue to support markets over the long term. Not only that, I don't think it's only the Fed. I think we're going to see tapering almost on a concerted basis around the world. I don't think the Fed will be doing this on their own. I think once the Fed starts to move, I think we'll start to see other central banks do the same on a gradual basis. I don't think they want to disrupt the currency markets. For instance, if the Fed does announce a sudden taper, dollar will get stronger. And sure, that'll help export countries, but not necessarily favorable for global capital markets if the dollar gets too strong all of a sudden.
But is there a possibility that globally, you mentioned just now, central banks would perhaps react, the reaction will be sudden from all these other central banks around the world?
Well, yeah, it's going to be the same. Like, we've started to see hints of central banks taper. For instance, the Bank of Canada announced that heard the RBNZ announce that they're probably going to be doing it. The RBA has been sort of waffling on it, whether they're going to do it or not. So I think banks are going to continue to send out those warning signals. But again, it's not going to be, we're going to pull everything out. Mm. It's not going to be one of those tapers. It's going to be so gradual and such a subtle removing of accommodation that I don't think it's going to be as disruptive. Look, New York Fed, former New York Fed President Dudley came out and said the taper could be a major disruption for financial markets. I don't necessarily agree with that. Mm. And listen, I'm a fan of Dudley 100%, but I don't necessarily agree with that view because I think the Feds know that if they pull accommodation too quickly, the markets will have a huge negative reaction. So I think they want to guard on that. And again, getting back to babysitting the markets again, I think the Feds are prepared to continue to babysit the market for much longer than perhaps even the market's pricing in right now.
But how will this whole process affect consumer and business spending?
Well, you know, obviously when rates start to move up, it's going to curb business spending. And that's exactly what the Feds don't want to do in this kind of environment. You know, we're just getting coming out of COVID right now, and we're starting to see the base effects. We're starting to see those segments of the economy that were negatively hit start to perform very well. I'm talking about used cars, travel, hospitality. I'm just referring to the U.S. right now, not globally, but we're starting to see those pick up. And this is something that the Feds want to monitor and want to ensure that these continue to move on a positive direction. They start to put interest rates or start to remove taper. It'll hurt consumer sentiment. Mm. And that's the one thing that they want to try to avoid. They want to keep consumer sentiment moving on a positive tangent. If consumers are happy, they'll continue to spend. And this is really what's needed from this point on in the economy. And once consumers are spending, then they can start to pull back a little bit on the QE.
And the Treasury yield was lowered around 1.557% earlier today. That should be good news for investors, right?
Yeah, it continues to suggest that the Fed's average inflation targeting continues to work on market sentiment. In other words, the market believes that the Feds will not move short-end rates. Sure, the longer-end rates will probably move in a relatively tight band between 150 and 170. I'm referring to the 10 years. But the short-term rates between 0 and 2 years are not going to move until the Fed starts to signal that they're willing to raise interest rates. And that's the key thing here. As long as short-term interest rates remain accommodative, that should be very supportive for the overall global economy. After all, most of the loans are predicated on short-term rollover sentiment. So this is pretty much most business loans, I suggest, are really predicated on 3 or 6 month LIBOR rollover. And this is still very accommodative because these short-term rates remain relatively low.
And Stephen, the personal spending and personal income numbers will be released on Friday. The Fed closely monitors these numbers. What will investors look for?
Well, I think just what the Feds are going to be looking for, similarly, that investors realize that these base effects segments of the economy that were damaged the most when COVID hit are going to perform very well. And obviously that's going to impact inflation data, the PCE inflation number, and the personal consumption segment is going to be high. We know that, but is it the question here is these sectors around lodging, around used cars, around car rentals, around travel. These are transitory effects. They think that these are not going to be persistent. The other thing that they're going to be watching this week is going to be coming out on Friday also, will be the Michigan Consumer Confidence Sentiment Indicator. This is very key to see how consumers are reacting at this stage. Remember, we're right in the peak cycle for peak economic optimism in the U.S. right now. So provided the consumers remain on board, I think investors will continue to see this, and this will be viewed quite favorably. So I think both a combination is going to be very important this week, where the latter, I think the market will continue to err on the side of transitory as opposed to sticky.
And you said a few days ago that the rise in community COVID-19 cases in Malaysia, which triggered the latest MCO, was expected to delay the country's economic recovery. You also said that traders would need a bit of convincing that the curve is flattening before buying the local unit again. What is happening to ringgit so far?
You know, it's the dollar has weakened off quite considerably over the past week or so. And this is just a reversal of what happened the week before. Mm-hmm. Basically, the Feds have been doing their job in convincing the markets that they're going to remain dovish. So the dollar's weakened. But locally, if we look at what's happened in China, the RMB's strengthened quite significantly down to 6.4 levels. Typically, this would be very bullish signal for the ringgit. However, it's still trading above 4.14. And this suggests to me that the market is still looking at the COVID curve. And yesterday we had the Director General come out and suggested, hey, we could be in for a vertical surge mm-hmm. in COVID, implying that the curve could even go higher. You know, these case counts are high, and the worrisome factor is the new variant. Similar up here in Bangkok, we're having issues with COVID resurgence, and the government's continuing to monitor very closely, and people are observing the rules by continuing to mask and not gathering in big spots. This has to happen in Malaysia for the curve to drop, and I still think once that curve starts to drop, then I think people will start buying the ringgit aggressively again, similar to what we saw the rupee. It feels like right now that the Indian surge is starting to taper a little bit, and people started to buy the rupee. And I think a very similar price action will occur in Malaysia once the curve does flatten.
But the resurgence is also happening in other countries in Asia, including in other economies too, including Taiwan and also Japan. What do you make of that? Because we slated that this year was supposed to be for recovery, right?
Yeah, it's worrisome. It really is. And it just shows that this thing's not about to leave anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And I think the worrisome aspect now, it puts the onus back onto governments to get the vaccine rollouts to work. I mean, look, the vaccines will mitigate most of the damage, at least the healthcare damage for people vaccinated. Look, I still think we're going to be dealing with COVID, unfortunately, for years to come. And that's just the situation, because this virus could mutate. Look, I'm not a doctor, I'm just guessing here. But looking at the way that we're seeing mutants, different variants coming out, it seems to me that this thing's not going to hibernate. Even once we reach herd immunity, which is a good thing, there's still going to be some lingering effect of this virus mutating somewhere around the world at some point in time that'll continue to pose a threat. So I think we're still going to have to be on our safeguard for years to come, unfortunately, and that's just the way life is right now in a COVID environment.
And Stephen, how are the equity investors reacting to the latest MCO in Malaysia? Are they worried?
You know, it's interesting because the stock markets are doing what they normally do. They're holding up okay. But, you know, there's segments of the economy that are worrisome. And, you know, the longer the MC orders go on, that means less revenue coming into the coffers of these companies that are involved in leisure activities and retail and what have you. Governments will have to support. This is the problem. It puts more stress on the government coffers again. Otherwise, you're going to have a decimated retail sector. And that's something that really has to be concerning. Look, we just have to get through this. You know, I miss my trips to KL badly. I'm looking forward to getting back and getting traveling down there. And I think everybody's in the same boat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fingers crossed that this is the final stage. But how many times do we have to go down this final stage? And that's the worrying part. You know, fingers crossed again that we do get to the light at the end of the tunnel, at least by the end of summertime.
On that note, thank you very much Stephen Innes, Rakan Pengurusan Global SPI Asset Management, bincangkan berkenaan dengan jangkaan pasaran serta berkenaan dengan PKP yang dilakukan pada ketika ini. Thank you very much, Stephen. Kita akan berehat sekali kembali selepas ini.